Well, yeah. How are you, Liz? I can put up with him for about 2 weeks or so, but his dirty underpants and his hair in the drain are starting to annoy me.
Yeah, me too.
But he's a very sensitive guy, really.
I noticed this morning.
Hey, that's enough there, Martin. Shouldn't you be going to the bar or something?
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Oh, hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott and with me is my queen of the jungle, Joe.
I like that. You Tarzan, me Jane?
That's right.
Okay.
You know what we're doing today? You know what this is?
Talking trash
indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made, and if not, what is? Because here on the show we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And it's September and we are celebrating National Cat Month by watching some low-rated cat flicks for the month, and because last month was National Dog Month, we are doing dogs versus cats. And this week, we are talking about a movie with the tagline, 300 kilograms of murderous fury.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. That's the best tagline we've had so far, I think.
We are talking about the lowest grossing movie of 2016, Prey.
Oh man!
Or its dubbed version, Uncaged. It has a 5.3 on IMDb from 2,959 reviewers.
Wow!
It was directed by Dick Moss. It's one of my favorite names of a director of all time. I always want to say Dickmas. he was the director of. Well, he is the director of Lift, Monster Dog, and my personal favorite, Amsterdam.
We loved Amsterdam.
Amsterdam is, everybody's got to see, especially horror fans. Everybody's got to see it once.
Yeah.
The budget of this movie was €3,530,000 euros.
Oh, okay.
Roughly around $4,100,000.
Mm-hmm.
The gross was $231,548.
Well, I'm sorry, can you repeat that number? Can you repeat that number, please?
The gross was $231,548 on release in the Netherlands.
Okay.
But was re-released in China in 2019 and made $6,589,000.
Wow. Okay.
Grossing okay. Overall $6,820,000.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I did not expect that.
Yeah, I know you didn't.
Wow.
While we don't know much of the Dutch cast in this film,
yeah,
we do know one actor.
We do?
Yes, that would be Mark Frost. As Jack, a.k.a. Wheels.
I knew I recognized him from somewhere. How do we know him?
Yes, he's in the movie that we like called Mayhem with Samara Weaving and forgetting the actor's name that plays Glenn on The Walking Dead.
Oh, Stephen Yeun.
Stephen Yeun. I should
okay.
know that.
Yes. Yeah, so and. I like that movie. Yeah.
Even better.
Uh-huh.
He is the superhero known as Faust.
Oh. No.
Yes, he played Faust in the movie Faust, which is another horror movie superhero film that everybody has to see once.
Okay, that is the movie I picked that won the night when we watched it on Bad Movie Night.
And we actually had planned on doing it for the podcast, but we can't find it. I had a hard time finding this
Not
movie.
Not even Vinegar Syndrome has it?
Yeah, I know. I think someone did put it out, but I think it fell back into obscurity.
Oh,
you know, a lot of these companies, when they do release something, they run out of the copies and they don't have them anymore.
Sucks.
Yeah. So filming with wildlife is illegal in Amsterdam. So Eric De Bauer, the effects artist who worked on Life of Pi, was approached to do this movie.
Okay.
But he said the effects of CGI lions would cost about 1 million euros per scene. So that would have been a fraction of the budget. So they, you know, that would have been just one scene. So they went to a Dutch effects company who made an animatronic lion for the close-ups, which was interesting because it was hard to tell the CGI and the animatronic apart.
I couldn't pick it out, no.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
They did a CGI lion in this film. Oh, this is a different movie for the month because we were doing cat films, and this is a big cat. We changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the situation.
Yeah, we changed it up just a tad.
The little black house cats that are like, you know, in the other movies we watched. And I'm just like, all right, had enough of you little fuckers.
Which, there's a lot of those. We actually, I have a whole bunch that are pretty interesting sounding. But I figure let's change it up. I had a couple lion films to do. And this was one of them. And I was like, you know what? I gave you a choice. I said, I have two movies for tonight. One is a TV movie, and the other one is a 2016 lion film. And you were like, oh, yeah, we're going for the lion film.
Yeah, because I had a feeling that whatever TV cat movie would be surrounding like some sort of domesticated house cat.
Yes.
And it was just going to be like another tabby or a black cat or long-haired cat. And it wasn't going to be any menace, you know? And it's a TV movie, so there's going to be no gore.
And, I was thinking that too.
I already went through all of it in my head today. So I'm like, nope, we need a lion. We need a lion. And I'm glad we went with this one.
Yeah. So this was an interesting one to watch because, oh man.
It's overdubbed.
We should definitely put that out first.
Yeah, it's in Dutch. And all the actors I'm imagining are from Amsterdam or the Netherlands or whatever.
Everybody pretty much is. I saw one actor was from Australia, but everybody, I'm guessing. There was a couple of times where the character of the hunter seemed to not understand another character talking because he kept saying, what did he say?
Yeah.
And he was right next to him. So I was wondering if he was supposed to be speaking a different language in those scenes.
Okay, I don't know. I mean,
Since we watched it dubbed, we don't know.
Yeah, I will say sometimes when you watch a movie, like especially like a kind of a horror movie dubbed, it takes you out of it, like where like the voiceover actors are too normal sounding for what they're going through.
Okay, so yes, there's two things about this, right? I'm actually on the opposite side of this. I know a lot of people would disagree with me. Sometimes I like watching dubbed because it adds some of the humor to these bad, you know, more lesser type of films.
Yeah, well, we also like it because Toho, when we watch Toho movies dubbed, it's more fun for us.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that's sacrilege, but I don't know. There's already goofy stuff going up on screen, and I love the fact that there's even goofier acting than the dubs.
Yeah.
So I think it just adds something really fun to me, and it makes me enjoy it a little more. That being said, this dubbing, oh my goodness.
It's very cheesy.
I could swear that every actor was being dubbed by the same actor.
Bunch of wusses, those cops. They crap their pants if there's a cat up a tree. Now, Ed, he was in the forces, you know. How many people did you bump off? Can you even count?
I don't know. A lot.
And Garrett over here, he single-handedly butchered three bulls.
I had too much to drink. I did.
So yeah, leave the fucking lion to us. We'll show him he's messing with the wrong country.
More evidence that the people of Amsterdam are not defeated after last night's tragedy, however tragic. Martin Grafstein, 85. Thanks, guys.
Like they had one guy and one girl
it
for each.
It sounded like
that. Yes, yeah. It did.
The two of the guys in this movie sounded like the exact same actor. And I could not tell them apart.
Yeah, yeah. Except, like, they kind of, like, had some kind of, like, direction where, like, one of them, like, okay, in this scene, you're going to raise your voice a little bit. And in this scene, you're going to go a little more monotone. But it's the same sounding voice.
It's the same thing. No emotion whatsoever. But no. I would say this, that here's the funniest part about this. The actors are not emoting.
No.
In the scenes either. So I think the dubbers were watching that saying, well, they're not emoting. And every line of dialogue sounds like we're laughing constantly.
Yeah.
So they're all playing it where the dubbers or whoever, you know, like whatever their thought was, they played it like everything was a joke. So they're always happy. The tone of the voice of the dubber is constantly happy.
It seems like that, yeah.
I don't remember once that they're not having a good time with the dubbing, like in that voice. Like, I don't remember even, like, I'm trying to remember if there is a scene in this movie where anybody's depressed. Oh, they should be, because people are being butchered.
The situations in this movie, aside from the lion itself and, you know, the terror and horror that's going on there, it seems as though, like, everybody is just okay with all the situations. Like, there's like some sort of like love problems going on with our main girl, and
yeah,
she doesn't act as if it's, you know, happening.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
But even the lion attacks, they are acting like it's just another Sunday,
right?
I guess yeah, it's Sunday.
He had a small child today. Oh, another, it was delicious.
Yeah. I mean, okay, let's talk about this movie, because it is a line attack film, and something that be very proud about is that this director does not give a shit about anything that normal people would say that's taboo.
Yeah, no, director doesn't care.
This director doesn't care, but what's sad about it is it's like he is going to the extreme while also not going to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Because this could have so easily gone the way of like something like The Sadness, where it's just like violent and disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this director's like, and we've seen this with his other movies, he's like, yeah, I want to go disturbing, but I'm also going to play for laughs. So it's just weird mix.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my God, if this was played darker, this movie would have been like a hit.
I know. See, that it was kind of deemed a horror comedy on IMDb. And but I'm happy we watched it on Prime, because at least we knew that we would get some kind of carnage. But the carnage sometimes was like a little bit humorous. I think mostly because of the CG. It was not great CG on the lion. But I think they did the best they could with it.
Yeah, like I just read you, the budget is nothing.
Yeah, the budget is nothing.
So the fact that it looks as good as it does. Because you said, oh my God, this looks horrendous. And I went, it could look way worse.
Yeah,
it
in
could
some
look
scenes,
like the birds.
In some scenes, it looks a
not
lot.
Not the birds, but
Birdemic.
Birdemic, or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah,
Sharknado.
No, it's not. It's nowhere near Birdemic.
Yeah, way better than it should be for the budget.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a time where I didn't care anymore, although there is a sequence in this movie that had us laughing out loud, because there is a man on a motorized wheelchair running after a lion, and it's on like green screen.
Well, he's not running.
I'm sorry.
He's wheeling.
When I say running, it's his wheelchair is actually like a tank, and it is moving at a fast speed, and it is very humorous to watch.
It is. It is.
It's just him on a green screen flying around the forest, and it's so funny looking. And that was like the one time where the special effects was like, wow, that's really bad. Or laugh worthy, but then other times I was like, you know what? I kind of like that.
It was funny because it reminded me of Batman 1966. You know, when like,
yes,
you know,
it's like when they're running.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this movie starts right out the gate. That's one of the things to be very happy about.
Oh, yeah.
It opens with a mass murder.
It does. And you know, I gotta say, I was happy about this.
Yeah, you don't get to see it, but I will say the fact that they're setting this up is a movie like this could have set up a whole bunch of backstory about what's happening, why it's happening. This movie doesn't care about that at all.
Nope.
It's like, okay, here's the opening. We're gonna get a little kid sleeping, wakes up, a line shadow goes past the window. And then we see a boyfriend and girlfriend, like this, I guess this boyfriend is dropping his girlfriend off on his motorcycle at home at night. It's late. And she gets off the motorcycle and talks about how, don't wake up my father, he already doesn't like you. And he's like, well, I'll take care of him. He pulls out a switchblade. But right there, we're like, what?
is happening, but then they hear a line. So we didn't even have a moment to process the absurdity of this boyfriend.
No, we didn't have, like, at first, normally I would think in the scene like this, like, oh, this guy's a douche. He's going to get killed first.
Exactly.
You know, but I didn't even have time to think because the father immediately hears something and wakes up. He gets out of bed and he goes outside and the motorcycle's on its side as if the two are just gone really quickly, like super quickly.
No body parts or anything.
There's
no blood.
Blood, nothing.
He's just looking for them.
Yeah.
Now, okay, this movie also sets up here. This is a comedy. But I will say it happens so fast that you can't even process this.
Yeah.
But he goes around the side of the house and sees what looks like his daughter maybe blowing her boyfriend on the side of the house.
That was funny.
She's on her knees and she's going back and forth with her head, but we can't really see what's happening. And then he's like, oh, hell no. But before he can even do that, her whole body gets sucked off.
Oh!
I didn't know what to say
here. You were keeping this in there.
Yeah, man. It gets completely shot behind ripped behind the house. Am I correct? I don't even know what happened here, but it is. All right.
She gets sucked off.
She gets sucked. Well, I mean, he got sucked off, apparently.
First of all, your mind's in the gutter, okay? Because
I just didn't know the wording.
She didn't get sucked off. She got dragged off like the wind.
Okay.
Dragged.
Let's back up here.
Massive speed ahead.
Because I don't agree with you because I do think.
Where did he go?
Yes.
And the lion just went and inhaled.
What is happening? Her hands are like at the sides, and her head is bobbing back and forth like she's giving a blowjob. And then all of a sudden, she's just right off the side.
She got sucked off.
She did. I just didn't know how else to explain it because I was like, that's not dragged off. That was sucked into the air. I didn't even, I was like, what was happening with her head in the first place? Was like her face perfectly in his teeth being pulled back and forth and then finally sucked up into the air? That's how I looked at the sequence. It happened so quick. I was like,
oh, God.
Every time I was shocked, I was like, oh, my God, they're already dead. And then seeing her giving what looked like a blowjob and then her being killed all in a span of only seconds, okay. I was like in shock.
It was like so fast that it was almost like a phantom. So I'm like, does this movie involve a ghost cat or something?
Yeah, we were wondering that all the time.
What the devil is happening? Like, this is so fast. I mean... You've seen animal attacks and stuff in movies and on, you know, TV and documentaries and things. You don't ever, it's like the thing is moving so fast, like a phantom. Like you have no idea. You don't even see it.
Yeah.
And so the father, you know, peeks around the corner and he gets killed.
Yeah, we don't even see that either.
We don't see that. All we
just hear him scream.
Is the mother then wakes up and there's a little girl that comes out of her room and the mother has a gun and she's like, stay in your room, shut up. And she goes outside, and that's it.
We hear gunshots.
We hear a gunshot, and then boom, gone. And we assume that the only living survivor of this situation would be the little girl.
Well, that's what we assume, because it instantly cuts now to a zoo. And there's a woman working at the zoo, and we see that she is working on an alligator who they have drugged on the table and have its mouth spread open. And she is reaching down its throat and pulling stuff out. And then we get to meet our other character who shows up during this, which is a cameraman.
He's her boyfriend.
Yeah, he works for the news.
He's a tool.
And he's a cameraman. He shows up, I guess they're together. It's kind of awkward.
They're like, yeah, they're together. But she's annoyed with him because he's a turd. But
yeah. I mean, she pulls out a Galaxy phone. She's like, oh, no, an Apple phone, because she says, I told you it was an Apple. Because Galaxy phones are bigger.
Yeah, so there is apparently an iPhone stuck in the gut of this alligator, which they needed to remove. So she pulls out the iPhone.
She does.
And which is, okay, that's, we just, the whole scene is just so that we know that she's a vet.
Yes, that she knows about animals.
Yeah.
And that's why she instantly gets called by the police to show up at that crime scene of the suck-off.
You're just doubling down on
it
now.
I'm just going to keep on doing
it. You're just embracing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
because,
my God. The suck off.
And the boyfriend, I guess, is like, we're supposed to go on a date tonight. And she's like, well, maybe we'll go on a date. But she runs off to the site of the crime. When she gets there, we see the bodies are all over the place. She sees the wounds. We get to see the gore and the carnage now. We didn't get to see it before.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to see the leftover carnage, and it is clear that is giant claw marks on the bodies. And they said that there's four victims here, which is a boyfriend, the mother and the father, the daughter, and the boyfriend. And they said there is a smaller child, but we can't find her. So we instantly were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then sure as hell, the next shot is them running over to the canal, and there is the little girl's mutilated corpse. And I was like, this movie doesn't give a shit already.
Yeah.
And the way that they react to everything here is just so nonchalant.
Miss Storm?
Lizzie?
Olaf Brinkers. We've shaken hands before some time ago when we investigated those red pandas found in the water.
The animal smuggler is right.
Yes, about 6 years ago.
Well, it looks like this time it isn't pandas.
If only.
Where's his arm?
In the same place as his wife's head. Daughter and boyfriend.
Four victims, then.
They had another daughter. She's about five. We haven't found her yet.
Impossible.
No, she's not broken up. She's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Ah, damn.
Now, I'll tell you, she's a veterinarian. To be called to a crime scene to look at, you know,
people,
human beings, like, torn up like that, there's no emoting at all. She is fine. She's just completely fine. It's so weird. I was like, okay, how am I going to get behind this situation with this chick? Because I feel like she doesn't have any kind of emotions. That's kind of weird. I mean, she's a vet. And she's probably never been to an actual crime scene before.
Well, the only reason I think that we can explain this away is that we know that she also has been a part of big hunts.
Yeah.
And well, that, which is weird, but she knows a famous hunter. And so she has been around, I would think, other apparent problems with human, maybe people, and maybe that she knows how to do something with this, but it isn't explained enough. But we do know that she went on these safaris.
I was in Tanzania for 4 years in Manyara. Worked at the local hospital. Every week they'd bring someone in, if they survived.
I'm afraid you're going to tell me something weird.
You didn't bring me here for nothing.
Actually, I wanted you to tell me I was wrong.
Any traces?
No, we found nothing after the rain. Is there a chance, any chance, you're wrong about this?
I know these wounds. I've seen them too often.
Overbred Rottweilers. Pit bulls.
Not even close.
Botched robbery?
Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Which is odd for a person who is a veterinarian to be, like, taking care of animals.
And then hunting them.
Like, it is a little strange.
It is very strange.
And
usually veterinarians, I mean, I don't know any, but I'll tell you that I would think, like, that they're probably wanting to save animals, I mean, just saying.
There is no, like, care for animals with her at all. There's so little character design with her. And even everything about, like, all the characters in this movie feel very strange, like, caricatures of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, the way she dresses, the way that everybody dresses. The deputy cop, whoever this guy is, the one that called her, he's basically saying, talk me out of thinking that it is a tiger. And they're in Amsterdam.
Right.
Now, I don't know if this is something that usually occurs, but the fact that that's even a conversation piece, like, that is a possibility.
Yeah, well,
seems strange.
They called
to me.
Her in because they wanted to know exactly what animal would have done this, since she's an expert on animals.
Yeah, he says, I wanted you to talk me out of it because I was wondering, can it be dogs? Can it be all this stuff? But I'm like, that's a crazy thing to even think it could be that. I don't know. I would have to look into, are there tiger, has there ever been things like this before? I don't know. I don't think so. This movie also mocks the fact that there's a lot of rumored things that have occurred before. Like, I do remember there was a rumor or like a myth about sharks in the canals.
Yes, we know this because we watched that movie.
Well, the movie is actually...
Under Paris or something?
Yeah, the movie is based off that myth and saying it is, what if it did happen? But there was a rumor going around that there was a shark.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie is kind of, they even reference that. They're like, oh man, oh, once it's a shark, now it's this, now a tiger. And I was like, that is a wild logic jump to think that there's a possibility of it. To me.
Yeah.
But this guy, the reason I brought all that up was that this guy, the way he dresses, everybody looks like a joke. I don't even know how to explain it. There's a part in this movie where he's wearing a tucked in like turtleneck and suspenders.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what, I was like, what is this guy going
for? He looked like a 1970s professor.
He does.
Professor or something. I was like, this guy's supposed to be a cop. I don't know what they are supposed to look like in Amsterdam. I don't know.
Well, no one else looks like this.
I mean, the characters are just, you know, it's not even, the whole point is the characters, the actual humans take a back seat to everything in this movie because it's really about the lion.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out like how absurd everything feels.
Yeah, oh, it feels absurd. It feels, yeah, it
does. The actress is wearing like leather pants and like,
like she's going to the club.
She's wearing the whole movie. She's wearing these leather pants. I'm it's a strange thing. And
like
thing.
A leather jacket. Like, yeah. I'm like, what is this?
All weird colors. Everybody's like, chose like the worst possible situations to be in.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the boyfriend. They didn't have a wardrobe. They just like basically said, hey, go in your closet and pick out some shit.
Even the boyfriend looks like your typical grifter.
He character, does.
Like a guy who's like scam artist.
Yeah, he does.
And that's the theme with him is that, because she does go on the date after this.
I mean, yeah, he's just one of those, like, totally self-assured, you know, like, douchebags that think that he's God's gift to the earth and it's her pleasure to be with him. It's so standard in these kind of movies.
This dude makes me believe that found footage movies are real. Because you always complain when you watch found footage movies, you go, put the camera down. This guy has the camera in his hands at all times. They go to dinner. He has the camera.
I know
with him.
He does. He's a news cameraman, so that's kind of what he does. So I guess he's just waiting for his big story to break.
It's like with him at all times. He's always walking with him. He's always carrying it everywhere. And now the funniest part about him is like, you know, he looks like the grifter character, so he is like, you know, like a handsome guy in the leather jacket, the long hair, and then what the funniest part about it is the guy who's the anchor, that's his friend.
Looks like Rivers Cuomo.
It looks, yes. So it's like this Weezer. Weird switching of the looks.
He does look like him, exactly. He even has like that striped shirt with the blazer and the glasses and the haircut.
He dresses weird too.
It's amazing. I was like, wow.
It's so odd. It's so funny that he's the friend and he's the face of the news.
Yeah.
And you think that would be the other way around. But
it's hysterical.
So they go on this date and we find out that this guy has been cheating on her and that the relationship is bizarre. Like he keeps saying, oh, we were kind of on the outs. So I was seeing someone else and she's virtually like, oh, I'm not going to give you another chance. I think we need time apart.
See, this kind of shit is so stupid because this movie doesn't need this.
I know it doesn't need it, but this is their idea of what
character development is.
Is something.
But I was like, we need this stupid but it's wild. Love crap?
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because just how much this character of our main actress seems to not respect herself.
No, she doesn't at all.
She doesn't like seem to care. Like she lets this guy walk all over her.
Yeah, this girl would never date a guy like this. Like
well,
this.
Well, no, because we see here our other ex-boyfriend, and we're like, I guess this does check out. She likes dirtbags.
Yeah. So we start, like, after this whole scene, it starts, like, all the carnage happening because this is when we meet our golfers.
Yeah, the next thing we get is the morning.
Yeah. So we got, you know, a couple of golfers on the course and the guy lobs the ball into the freaking woods and he goes to get it. And his friend follows him And this is another empty plot line that's stupid, but they're apparently not even friends. They're business like partners. Business partners, and he's serving him with papers in order to, you know,
they're trying to get him out of the company.
So he goes into the woods while the guy's retrieving the ball, and he serves him with papers. And I was like, oh, this is going to be wonderful. This guy's going to get it.
Yeah. Well, the way that this director, you know, by the way, this director not only wrote this movie, but he also scored it.
Of course. Of course.
He did everything on this film. What I got to give this guy credit, you know, we were talking about our last week's movie. We were talking about Fulci and how a lot of the camera work just didn't feel stylized enough. Mm-hmm. And in this scene, I was like, so this is stylized. They set this up where the camera is full on focus straight ahead on this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's handing the pen to the camera. And I was like, I see what you're doing here.
Yep.
And I know where this kill is coming from.
Right behind him. Yeah, his head gets bit off.
And then I got to give the credit even more because the other guy's wearing glasses. So when he gets completely eviscerated in front of him, his glasses get sprayed with the blood and he can't see what's happening.
Right.
And I was like, and then we actually see through the glasses on the lens of the camera. And I was like, I dig it. Yeah. I'm okay with this.
It was cool. It was cool. Because we're getting some carnage, you know? I'm like, yeah. And I like that shit. So the guy goes running out of the damn woods with blood all over his face.
He looks like he killed the business partner.
He looked like he killed him. And so the other partner who's, you know, on the freaking golf course is like, what the hell did you do? And he thought that he did it. And so... then there's a trail of blood.
Did you notice this though? They go in. He goes in. Like his first instinct is to go back into the forest with the guy who he thinks he killed.
I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? But, like, there's a lion in there.
Yeah. Well, the other guy didn't see it. He's like, an animal killed him. But my favorite thing about this is the blood is now. It would have passed him.
Yeah, it would have passed the guy on the golf course. Yes. So he
as he goes
seen
in,
it
would have been. It's like hysterical. As they went in, he was coming out.
Yes.
So it literally is like you see a blood trail go through the green of the golf course and up to the sand trap,
and there's
the bodies it's all over the place.
So here we are. We're in like pretty deep territory right now because it's just. I mean, it's just started.
It just started,
and we already have bodies. So I was like, this is going to be something because this is not going to stop throughout the whole movie, and it doesn't.
Yeah, we giggled because there is the feet, the paw prints in the sand trap going away in the toe beans, and we were laughing instantly, like, of course, of course, you can see this little paw prints.
Yeah, they weren't little.
Yeah, no, they're not little. They show up, and now we get our setup with the Jaws mayor. Basically, the sheriff is like, let's not say anything.
Yeah, but he's not as bad as the mayor from Jaws.
But he's like saying, don't say anything. But unfortunately, because she told her boyfriend reporter about there's a possibility of a lion attack, which he didn't believe, they went and did a thing at the golf course. And so she turns on the news in front of the sheriff, and it's already out.
Yeah.
So it's forcing him to do a press conference.
Yeah.
Where he basically has to spin it and say, we want the public to know. But the weirdest thing is the news reporters, all the people in the press conference are laughing.
Yeah, because they don't believe it. They think it's a joke.
They think it's a joke. Because they're mocking. They're saying they're trying to bring... Are you trying to make it popular, Amsterdam? Make popular again?
Yeah. Like, they're like all like, where are we? And, you know, Serengeti? This is not... There's no lions here.
Which I agree with.
There's no lions here just getting loose. The zoo never reported anything. Any lions getting out. There's no reports of any lions anywhere in Amsterdam. Are you kidding? Like, this is not a place where a lion would just be roaming about.
That's what I'm mad about with this. The only thing I cannot believe this movie doesn't once try to explain this. This movie never gets explained. I think there might have been like an off thing of dialogue here where they say that there was a suggestion that they knew about somebody with lions.
Mm-hmm.
In the first kill scene, the crime scene of the first kills, I think there's an offshoot of dialogue there that kind of explains the movie, but it's so minimal that I don't even remember it. Like I can't recall if it's anything important.
Fun fact, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because the movie never once again talks about it. In fact, she actually goes to the zoo to look at her lions. And they all won't come out of their cages because something's scaring them.
Yep. And that's another thing. Like, the lions are getting scared by a lion. Now, I was like, that's unusual. So this part of the movie, I started thinking, okay, are they going to jump in here and say that this lion was tested upon or something?
Yeah,
and like maybe there's some kind of like weird toxins that are making it like super strength or something that's going on. Like they're going to introduce some kind of mad scientist that was, you know, trying to alter this DNA of this lion or something.
I was waiting for it.
No, that never happens.
And something weird here is that while this lion seems to hunt people like you would think a lion would, is more about the hunt. Isn't that whole thing, like, I don't know, maybe you can tell me, but I, if I'm not mistaken, lions hunt and hyenas eat the corpses.
Yeah, hyenas are scavengers.
Yes. And in this movie, it seems like the lions are almost like hyenas because they're constantly going after corpses.
Yes.
It's like they're drawn to corpses for some reason.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe I always thought like the lion was like the T-Rex, you know? It wants to hunt. Or raptor, yeah. It's a predator.
That's what I thought.
So like it would want to hunt. And this thing just like, you know, I'm too freaking lazy, man. Just like fall into my mouth.
Yeah, there's multiple times of like, give me a corpse.
Yeah.
And we're going to lure the lion in because the lion loves corpses. I'm like, since when? Is that a thing? I don't know about that because there seems to be so many humans around for it to kill.
I know.
And it loves killing. And in this movie, this thing kills so many people.
It's like a buffet at the freaking park.
Yeah.
And he doesn't kill any of those particular people that are just sitting on the grass having a picnic.
There's I know, like they set that up too, by the way. We do have to talk about the next kill, which is just a great example of what's going on in this movie. The boyfriend's trying to get with the girl again, and they almost get hit by a guy delivering food on his moped. And they pretend to fight. Like the guy's like, I'm going to stick up for her because she almost got hit by the bike. So he basically buys the guy's food from him.
Which is somebody else's order.
Someone else's order. It's like he gets a bottle of wine and some like kebabs or something. I don't even know. And the guy drives off. And I was like, I wonder if this guy's going to get killed. Like, I don't know what's going to go.
I'll tell you what. This is really fun.
This was a fun scene.
It was a very fun scene.
The lion does show up and chase him throughout the streets of Amsterdam.
He's on his moped hauling ass with this thing chasing him.
Yeah. And it's CG. It does look a little like, oh.
It's a little wonky.
And you're kind of like, I don't blame them. They don't have a budget. Like, I understand. It still looks pretty decent for no budget.
I thought it was fun, yeah.
But what he ends up crashing off of the side of one of the things because there's just canals.
Yeah.
And so he goes into the canal. And I was like, he just saved his own life.
Yep.
Accidentally going off the thing.
Yeah, but what does he do? He gets out of the goddamn water.
Yeah, I'm so mad. If I don't bring this up, I'm going to get mad at myself. But there's this weird thing with this character. The one guy, when he almost hits the boyfriend says, your mother's a whore, right? And then does. The boss calls and says, hey, you didn't give the guy all the food for his delivery because he sold it to the boyfriend. And then the boss calls and says, your mother's a whore. And I was like, why is everybody going for this guy's mother?
Why is everybody saying that?
Everybody's going for this guy's mother.
It was weird. You know what it felt like to me? It felt like the same actor that was overdubbing the boyfriend was overdubbing the boss.
But I love.
And they just reused the line.
But he also did it in a different voice. So like he actually put an accent on the boss.
That's what I'm saying. Like they put a little spin on it, but it sounded like it was the same guy.
Watch out, you jerk. What did you say? I said your mom is a whore.
Easy, Dave.
A few moments later.
Sergio!
I just got a complaint about you.
What?
The last customer.
What customer?
The customer that got the free wine.
I just did that delivery.
There should have been 8 portions.
No, 6 portions. That's all you gave me.
It's a bullshit.
I swear, Sergio!
You asshole!
Take that back!
Never.
I'll stab you. I swear I'll stab you!
And your sister sucks.
Leave my sister out of it.
Your mother is a whore.
Leave my mother out as well.
You're going to pay for this, man. And your grandmother's a whore too. You hear me? You hear
me? Oh my God. It made me laugh so hard. Well, he goes off the canal like you were just saying. And I was like, okay, you saved your life. Just stay in the water.
Because
that lion's not coming in there. He's not going to go in there.
Right.
And this dumb idiot who watched a lion chasing him just crawls back up, peeks around.
He pokes his head out of the water, and boom. gets his head bit clean off.
I love this. The body falls and it sinks so quickly. It made me laugh. We just see the feet go up.
It was amazing. They had to do that.
Like a torpedo.
They had to sink it really quickly and put like rocks in it or something because it clearly looked like a floaty. It looked like a pool floaty, the body.
Yeah, maybe
you're right. It looked like it was blown up.
I feel like if it was a real corpse, it would have floated for a little while.
Yeah, but they had to get rid of it. Don't you have to
weight down the bodies?
Yeah, but still, they had to get rid of that prop because that prop looked terrible. When he like fell backwards into the water, he looked like a floaty, like a pool floaty. He really did. We'll go back and watch it again. I'll show you.
I'd have to look at it again, which I'll probably do for the editing.
Yes, you have to look at it again.
I don't remember it looking that bad. I just remember laughing so hard.
It looked
because
bad.
Because just this lion taking a snack, his entire head off.
Yeah.
Made me laugh so hard. But what's impressive about
this is that the street sweepers, the next morning, they come upon the head just sitting on the curb. Now, I thought that the lion...
That was a different guy's head.
No, that was his head. That was the food delivery guy's head. And when he bit his head, wouldn't he have eaten that head or something?
Yeah, I don't think it's his head. I think it's someone else's because he has a mustache.
Fun fact, I'm wrong.
He did have one.
I don't think that's his.
What a mess. Look at that! Not dog poop, not horse shit either. What's that? Never mind.
But either way,
I think there's another murder.
Random heads. So
I don't remember who the hell... I know there's another one, but I cannot remember because so many happen.
There's just murder after murder.
Let's talk about the best ones because some of them are incredibly shocking. Out of nowhere in this movie, there's a scene where there's a babysitter and she just gets a call to go look on the kids. We don't know this character. We have nothing to do with this character. But she goes in the room and we see that the kid's room is empty and there's the window open. So we gasped instantly, like, oh my God.
Shit.
Well, it got even funnier.
It did. The kids wanted to go to the little playground.
They snuck down the streets of the playground. And I was like, I cannot wait to see where this is going. Like, this has got to be insane. Like, if something happens to these kids, I'm going to be shocked.
They're two little kids.
Two little kids. Now they get up on the slide, which is one of those tube slides. And I said, wouldn't it be funny if he slid down right into the lion's mouth?
Yep.
But it didn't happen that way. But when the one kid slides down, he is staring at the lion, is right in front of him. And I was like, holy crap, wouldn't that have been funny? I can't believe they actually got this far with it. Mm-hmm. Now this means the little girl is going to go slide down. She doesn't know what's happening. When she goes down, I thought, she's going to bump the kid right into the lion's mouth.
That would have been epic.
But instead, she slides down and the kid is not there, but we get to see what she's looking at. And it is the little boy in the lion's mouth.
Yes. Oh my God.
I was in shock that they did this. So she starts crawling back up the slide and the lion goes in the slide to get her, which is like, about unlocking a fear.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, this lion's going to get this little girl.
Yeah, I was like, lion, please go back up to the top of the slide and come down the slide.
That would have been amazing.
If you just see the lion's tail outside of the thing on the top, and then they hear the girl inside getting eaten.
Yep.
I thought that would have been so funny. But luckily, the babysitter, she can't hold on anymore, and she slides back down thinking she's going to get eaten. But when she gets down, the babysitter grabs her. I was like, what were you thinking? Now, where's Bobby? And then she just points, and there's just a blood trail into the forest with like a loose foot.
Yeah. It's next level. They don't give a shit. They kill kids in this movie. There is like one murder after another until we have a complete slaughter scene when somehow this amazing lion ends up on a fucking city bus.
It gets in a city bus.
Oh my God.
We have no idea how this occurs.
Oh my God.
But again, we see a little girl in a like stroller and she says, kitty cat. And I was like, oh my God, is it on the bus? And sure as hell, it's sitting at the end of the bus.
Sitting on the back of the bus.
And then we see it rampage from the outside of the bus. And it's so much so that the bus crashes into a building.
Yeah, it destroys everybody.
As all we know, is every single person's killed. But later on, there is a shot of someone on the side, like the street with the blanket over them. So I didn't know if it was the little girl. I don't know. But as far as I know.
Why would they spare a child at this point?
10 people at least have been butchered by line inside of a city bus.
Pure carnage.
How it got out is beyond us. No, we have no idea.
How did it get in? They would have, the bus driver would have to open the door and say, hey, sir, can I take your change?
Put him up, put him up.
You got $1.50?
He asked for two. Yeah, he asked for $1.50. What is it, the money?
$3.50.
$3.50.
Goddamn Loch Ness monster.
Okay, so now the sheriff finally says, we need a hunter. But they're like, the zoo person, she's like our main character virtually. She says, all right, I have somebody. He's a world-class hunter. I'll call him in.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. But the problem is they say, no, we don't want him. We're going to go with my cousin. So we see the sheriff.
Police chief has a cousin that's a hunter. And he looks like he stepped right out of Jumanji.
Yes. He seems like a total, like a comedy. Like they got a comedian and they brought him in the movie. And he has a son that seems only like 10 years younger than him.
Oh my God. But he's such a dweeb. Like he's just
a doofus. It's doof. I virtually imagine the guy that played on Mad TV doing Stewart.
Look what I can do.
Yeah. Look at me. Yeah. That guy. It's like him.
Yeah.
And he keeps, there's this running joke with these two characters. They go, you're not going to go see those women again. And he keeps saying that. I'm guessing he brings them to a prostitute.
I feel like something was cut out of the movie unless they're talking about the red light district.
That's what I was assuming the
whole
time.
So he bribes his son into doing things, good things, I guess. So he'll get rewarded with chicks.
Well, he keeps saying, can I come on the hunt? And he's like, no, if you keep it up, I'm not going to bring you to the women again.
He sounds like a 12-year-old and a 30-year-old's body. He's like, there's no point to this character. And I feel like the overdubbing made things worse.
Yeah, it did.
Great. Later then. Wow, Dad, are we shooting a lion?
Have you been eavesdropping?
I'll hit it right between the eyes. Bam!
No, you're not. It's way too dangerous. This is a job for the professionals.
I want to. Why can't I come?
You keep on nagging and we won't go see those ladies again.
Mm. The hunter sets up an entire trap in the forest. Okay.
This is amazing.
Now, this idiot builds a tent house on the side of a tree. Not up in a tree, on the side of a tree. And he puts two bear traps with a sound machine in the middle of it, making the lion sound. And he has a remote control for it. And then above it, he has the deer carcass. And then meanwhile, they have locked down the entire park.
Yeah.
And they have cops at every entrance. And they have a helicopter with night vision flying above.
Yep.
And this guy, he's like, I'm going to bring him out. I'm going to drag him out. And this goes on for a little bit until finally the son just bumbles out into the forest in front of him, almost gets shot. And he also has a device and he's trying to lure out the lion. Well, when the father's like, they think it's off over the side. So the son runs off. He's like, no, come back in here, you idiot. And he runs off into the bushes and he gets back into his tent. The lion is in the back of the tent.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like Jason Voorhees when he was like, you know, on the ship and Jason Takes Manhattan, where he suddenly just arrived at the top of the thing. Like, I feel like this scene, you wanted something bad to happen to these two idiots because they're just so dumb.
Yes.
But we also forgot to mention that there's three militant kind of people that are also hunting the lion.
No, that's actually later. I knew you're gonna start bringing that in, but it doesn't have. They only set these characters there for some reason. There's like a whole bunch of townsfolk shown watching the news, and at one point they cut to like a Dunkin' Donuts type place, and inside the donuts place there is three guys that look like they're in from the Toxic Avenger. There's like three punk rock dudes. One guy has an eye patch. They look like your local, like just the weird punk rock guys in
like
the city.
They have a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, they're like, I'm going to get these lines or whatever. They come in later on. So the son runs in to help the father, who accidentally steps on the bear trap, then falls into the other bear trap on the side of his body. So he's killed instantly.
So funny. Yeah. I was like, okay, we have to get, at this point, I was like, okay, we got a more creative death scene here.
I mean, they just keep thinking new ideas. New ideas every 5 seconds.
New ideas. Yeah. It was funny.
Every one is more interesting than the one before it.
Yes.
It just keeps stepping up. You wish you can see the line more, but you don't see it enough. But,
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because it's very highly CG'd and looks a little goofy and wonky sometimes. I mean, in some shots it looks okay, but I feel like you have to see it to understand.
Yeah. It feels like Jaws in that sense where they're filming it off shot. Like you can only see a little bits of it. Sometimes you see it full on running, like Jaws shows up and you start seeing him a lot.
Yeah, they do. You know, Steven Spielberg did very clever.
Well, it was accidental, but you know,
yeah. He had very clever film.
It's film like that. Shots. He's trying to think like that. Like, well, how do we do it on the cheap?
Yeah.
You know, and I wish we would have just had more of the animatronics eating people to add to it. And we do get that. And the scene with the bus, we see it slash a guy's back. The entire back comes off. Like, it's insane looking.
Yeah.
Gore looks
there
cool.
There is a lot of gore. Now that these two idiots are dead.
That's when they call in the new guy.
They call in the new guy, who is the ex-boyfriend of our veterinarian girl here. And he...
They're trying to give a character, because they have, like, her looking at a photo book and is, like, with some music playing. It's, like, supposed to be this, like, thing, but it's, like... This feels so out of place. It doesn't
like work. She's reminiscing about him.
Yeah, well, like, what is this?
It was weird.
It is strange.
But he comes to town, and he's from I guess I said he's from London. I don't know.
I have no
idea. But he's in a wheelchair. He has lost a leg, which we find out later is because of a lion attack.
Yes.
So he's in a wheelchair. How is he going to help?
Yes. He is a drunk.
I mean, he is a drunk.
He's a womanizer.
He's a womanizer. He is.
And of course, he was the ex-boyfriend.
The ex-boyfriend, yes.
So we know this person's taste is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got problems. So they call him in, and then the police chief actually sees him, and he's like, how are you going to help us? You don't even walk. Like, how are you going to escape a tiger or, you know, a lion? How are you going to escape this? Like, how are you going to help us? And for the longest time, he was coming up with this stupid plan.
Well, don't cut past his wheelchair, because his wheelchair is a tank.
Okay, his wheelchair is like Johnny Five's wheels.
Yes.
Had gone completely, like, just had an upgrade. Like, just,
He just, in front, the first time the sheriff, the head of chief of police guy, the first time he sees him, he rolls out of his minivan. And he goes, what the hell is going on here? And he goes, that's the new Hunter. And he's like, are you kidding me?
You made a joke. You're like, oh, this is Silver Bullet Part 2. Gary Busey made that.
The whole time I said, what if this was the sequel to Silver Bullet? Because anybody who's ever seen Silver Bullet will laugh their ass off at that joke with seeing this wheelchair. And you're like, because if you see that movie, Gary Busey is making crazy wheelchairs for people. And I think that would have been hilarious just to even call him the same name. It would have been so funny.
It is not a wheelchair. It is literally a vehicle that little Corey Haim is driving around in.
I know. They made him a car.
It's a freaking car.
That's how I felt here. They made him a tank. Like, if this had a tank gun on the front, I would have died laughing in this movie. Well, he has this plan where he knows everything. He does know everything. He is a good hunter. He knows instantly that where it is, like, what it's going for. And he's saying, look, it's eating people. That's it's drawn to that. It's not going to go for regular meat. So he's like, unfortunately, we need one of the corpses of the people he's already attacked.
Oh my gosh.
So stressful. He's like, give me your cousin and I'm going to hang his corpse.
Shape to hang his corpse, his cousin's corpse from a tree as a freaking bait.
As a bait. And of course, the chief of police is not thrilled with this.
No.
He's like, my own cousin, you're going to, like, you want to string his body up?
My what? He wants to use my cousin as bait?
He says it's the only way to lure the lion.
And you think that's a good idea, Brinkers? Do you people have no respect for the dead?
How dare he suggest that? Get that cripple out of here.
Send him back to London.
And he didn't really like the idea.
Too bad. What about that son of his?
So he says no and basically tell that guy to go to hell, and he's fired. So he brings in a SWAT team. Now, the news reporter goes around and starts interviewing people, and that's when he interviews the punk rockers who said, you know, we're going to take down this line ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to let another person in our town go. We're going to take down this line ourselves, since no one at the police station can't. So we got that set up. And now the chief of police calls in a super SWAT team. And of course, it's at night. Everybody's always hunting the line at night.
Yeah.
When it's the worst time
for
them.
When no one can see anything. Yeah.
And it's always in the park. Although we've seen it on the streets multiple times. No one ever is attacking it in the streets. Mm-hmm. So the SWAT team goes in. And they walk into what is, I don't know how these idiots fall for this, but they fall. One guy falls to the floor in the middle of the park into spikes and is killed instantly, the SWAT team. And another guy, I think a bomb goes off and on him.
Yeah, so he hits a tripwire and it's a bomb. So he blows up.
And another guy sucks up into the tree and starts shooting.
Will you stop saying sucks up?
What's the word? What do you want to say there?
He gets his foot caught in a goddamn rope trap.
And goes flying up.
He gets
sucked up into the air.
Pulled up by like...
He got sucked off up into the tree, Joe.
I quit. I'm hanging up my headphones.
I mean... It was a hard grab, Jesus, and it sucked Christ. It right off.
Oh, my God.
So he went up into the tree, and then when he got sucked off, he shot all over the place.
I hate you. I quit. I'm going away.
So seriously, he shoots his gun because this idiot, his first instinct is to shoot everywhere. He's riddling the trees with his gun. And he shoots the three idiots. It turns out that they set up the traps for the lion.
I can't even talk about this movie anymore.
The whole Super SWAT team and the Toxic Avenger punk rockers are all dead. They're all fucking dead. Oh my god. The lion didn't even have to do shit.
Oh my god.
They just
all killed each other.
Why? Oh, our favorite part is when we see the lion is watching this through the bush. You just see his little eye just watching them.
Hey, all. You guys okay over there?
I see what you're up to over there.
What you doing over there?
Oh my god. It's so funny. They're all dead. And this is their, like, you know what? The next thing is we see is the cousin being strung up.
Oh my god, it's terrible. Like I said to you, I'm like, his family, like, don't they want to bury him?
That's when his, yeah, they're like, he goes, what about his son? No one cared about that guy. I love it so much. And by the way,
this is the comedy aspect of the movie.
They went to dinner and he took out his gun. He was so drunk, the hunter, that he shot a chandelier onto some table. And he was locked up in jail. And they're like, okay, get out of jail. And we got the cousin strung up for you. We're ready to go.
Oh my god, they have no more options, okay? Their SWAT team is pretty much dead. The punk rock vigilantes from the Toxic Avenger are pretty much, they're all dead. And this hunter guy, with the one-legged hunter guy, is the only hope.
Yes, the only hope. He basically...
They don't call them, like, National Wildlife Society or anything like that. They don't try to trank this thing. They don't try to do anything. They just string up a corpse and they try to lure it back into the forest.
It works. It works. So
the guy with a motorized wheelchair and the one leg and the only one gun is going to save the day.
They have a race. I love this because the lion, he backs up and the lion is right behind him. The only reason that this dude survives is because a dog comes out of the bushes and just barks and barks behind him. I was like, the lion's behind him, isn't it? Sure as hell, he turns around. You know, clever girl. The lion is right there.
Yep.
He shoots at it. I don't know what's going on with the bullets in this movie because it seems to deflect
it's
all
just
the bullets.
They're never landing.
Never lands. And they have a chase. And that's the chase we were talking about, where it looks silly and is funny as hell.
Because he has a motorized wheelchair.
How is he driving?
But he was shooting the gun at the lion as he's driving at maybe 45 miles an hour in his wheelchair through the forest.
I said, sheer willpower. He's driving with sheer willpower.
But he's got two hands on the gun. So nobody's driving the goddamn wheelchair.
It's crazy.
And it's just going by itself.
It's so silly looking that it's amazing. And you know what's the craziest thing is? He loses the lion. And the lion is just like, even the helicopter goes, oh, we lost him. I'm like, where? What? And then I'm like, oh, never mind. Here he is. He's in the streets now.
I made a joke to you. I'm like, the lion's in the chopper. Turn around, man. Turn around.
I would have cried for an hour laughing if he was in the helicopter. The wildest part is he's in the streets and he chases it and he starts going around looking for where the hell the lion could have went. And he finds like a fence that's been open. It's got the lion hair on it. And he goes into it and there's a building he's approaching. And then that's when he runs into the lead actress who's looking for him in the forest because this whole thing went wrong. I think that was pretty dumb of her because she got killed. And he's like, what's this building? And she says, it's the morgue. They've been doing studies on the corpses. And he's like, oh my God, a lot of corpses. So apparently the line is like, yeah, I don't want any of these hunters. I don't want any of these people. I'm going to go for the corpses, which is so odd that he even knows that the dead bodies are there.
Yeah.
When he can just get fresh meat all over the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you can jump through a window of a house and get a live person.
It's true, though. The lion is inside the morgue, and it literally jumps through windows in this movie. They're right. So they have an entire fight. But one of the most interesting things happens is that they call the rest of the team, and they're at where they strung up the cousin. And they said, it took the cousin. And now I was saying to you, like, how? Because it's at the morgue and he was chasing it. It would have had to have doubled back.
Right.
And even he's kind of like, he doesn't believe it because he's following it. But he says, oh my God, it doubled back.
Yeah. You know,
and I was like, that's impossible.
There must have been two lions is what we said.
Yeah. So I right there, I was like, something else is happening. No one else seems to say it. Yeah. It seems like it had to be. But it doesn't matter. From here on, they have a huge fight. And his wheelchair runs out of a battery.
Which is amazing because he was looking for an outlet to plug it in.
He was trying to plug it in.
I'm like, bro, were you not prepared for this situation at all?
Yeah.
Like, your industrial strength wheelchair, it's like silver bullet.
It has no backup battery.
And so while this thing is chasing you, you're just going to stall out. That's wonderful. So he finds an outlet he's going to plug his wheelchair in, but the fucking lion is creeping on him. He takes a huge chunk out of this guy's arm, like huge.
Yeah, he mauls this dude so much that they back off and they fall off a second story, and his only working leg gets hooked on a piece of the banister and is impaled, and the lion is swatting at him, and finally he falls. So
it
now this
pretty cool.
This guy's leg is shredded. He's got claw marks on his chest, and his arm is messed up.
Yeah, he's bleeding out. But this is all before we find out that he actually is gouged through his abdomen.
Yeah, but what we see, the amount of blood when he's crawling, he's dragging himself around the hospital, there's so much blood. This guy's dead. I mean, that is like gallons of blood are coming out of this guy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's because he is open on the chest. Like, we didn't know. And by the way, we also found out that this guy was dying. That he had cancer, and then he was dying. There was like a whole plot line. So we know that this guy's kind of like, it's okay if I die during this because like this is my purpose.
Yeah.
To stop this thing. So we know that like he's pretty much going to set up like himself as bait in this scene. And that's what he does. He comes up with this idea to lure the lion in. By the way, the lead actress is now in the ceiling tiles. She's crawling around in the ceilings to get away from the lion. And she falls perfectly in the same room as him, which was a funny joke.
Where the ex-boyfriend, the hunter, is. And let me tell you, not bothered by nothing. She says, oh my God, your leg, you're all messed up. Look at you. And she actually hacks off his leg.
He says, oh, you're going to make a new line for him to follow with fresh blood. So hack off my leg.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he's already, you know, bleeding everywhere.
He actually says, I'm not kidding you. He says, I'm finally balanced. Yeah. After she cuts it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's got ball. I don't know why the line doesn't go for him, because he is just sitting there bleeding all over the place. So I don't know why his blood isn't attracting him, but yeah. He does follow the new leg, which they have lured.
New leg.
The new leg. The leg of lamb is in, he. It follows him. She brings the body, the leg, into this like room, which is like an airtight room. And she is, the plan is to gas him, the line. So she has a gas mask on and she shuts the door behind him when he comes in for the leg. She gasses the line. It swats her gas mask and like busts it. So she's passing out. But the boyfriend with the camera, literally still carrying the camera, shows up there. The guy says he's in the room, help her. And then he dies. And then he opens it up and the line jumps out on the boyfriend. And is about to kill him, but she takes one of those, it's like these, one of these mortician rods. It's like a spike. Yeah. I know this because I've seen Jason Goes to Hell, which we did on the show. And the mortician gets that right through the face. So she does that right through the back of the line's head and kills the line right in front of him. And the line falls down. So yeah. They've killed the line. The boyfriend, the ex is dead. The boyfriend and her have survived. Everything is good. They go outside. They get in the car. She wants to ride with her ex-boyfriend to the hospital.
Yeah. Even though he's gone.
Yeah.
You know.
But she wants to be with him for the end.
Riding in the ambulance with him. And this is pretty much what we expected, right?
Yes. At this point, I thought it was just going to end. But it was lingering so much with like just shot after shot.
Yeah.
That I was like, something's coming.
Yeah.
And sure as shit, for some odd reason, the two guys in the ambulance, the drivers, don't know where they're going. And it starts pouring. And they get to like a train passing. So the guard rails go down for the train to pass by, and it's pouring and they're fighting about where they're lost or something. And then they hear a line outside the door. So the guy naturally goes, did you hear that? And it stops raining instantly. I don't know why.
Yeah, but what's your first instinct when you hear like a lion or some kind of animal outside? Open the door.
Opens the door.
Yep.
And the line jumps inside the damn ambulance.
And rips and starts, them to shreds.
It doesn't. Those two guys survive. I don't know how. They're out on the side of this road. Because they fall out the other door. And he turns and eats the ex-boyfriend's body. It bites his head right off, and she's got to fight it. She gets out the back doors while it's eating the ex-boyfriend, and there's another guy waiting in line. She pushes him out, gets in his car, and pushes the entire ambulance into the train tracks.
Where it blows up when the train hits. With the lion inside of it. With the lion inside. So that lion's dead. All right, so that was, we knew there's two of them. Yeah. We knew. We figured it out that there was two of them. So now that should be the end of it, right?
You would think.
No.
Another scene
brings us to the couple, our main couple, walking the dog. And they're walking their dog. And the dog goes into the bushes and comes back out.
What's the dog's name, Joe?
Simba?
Simba.
Yeah. The dog's name is Simba. So the dog goes in the bushes. And comes running back out.
You think it's dead, but then it comes back.
Yeah, it comes running out. And obviously you can hear a little roar. So obviously there's a little cub in there.
Yeah, the camera goes into the bushes. There is another line. Yeah. But the growl is not of a cub. It is a full line.
It's full line. But I feel like if that dog went in there, it would have eaten it. So what made me think it was maybe a cub. Like the two lions had a cub. But either way, Finn.
Yeah, that's the movie. And I was like, oh my God, this was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of more fun than it should have been.
Yes.
And I feel like people should watch this.
I feel, here's the problem with this movie. Like, while I enjoy it, because of how absurd all the lion stuff is and the crazy attacks the movie's willing to do.
Yeah.
It also has terrible characters.
It does, yes.
And the acting is very bad.
It is.
They never
There's once no emoting. Feel
like they're emoting. Yeah.
Nope.
I would say the best actor is the hunter. The guy in the wheelchair.
Yes,
he is. He's definitely the best part of the movie, but even he is going for some kind of satire.
Yes.
And it's so odd and off-putting that it kind of hurts the movie overall.
Yeah, and also, you know, like, I feel like we probably should have watched it with subtitles so we can have the real...
I don't think so. I was watching the actors the whole time, and I'm like, if the lines of dialogue are anything like it is in the movie, this doesn't work. Like, everything they were saying to each other, like, the girlfriend is like, oh, you're cheating on me, and you're a dick. And she's just like, okay, you want frozen pizza? That's the movie. And it was like, and I was like, that can't be the real dialogue
no.
here. And they are eating frozen pizza later on.
They
and I was
are,
like, it
yeah.
was really the dialogue?
It the side plot crap is stupid. It's really stupid. But if you go in watching this just for the carnage, you'll be happy.
Oh, without a doubt. So. You're never going to see a movie where a kid's on a playground or ripped to shreds by a lion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bonkers.
It's crazy. And knowing that this is the director. Now, we didn't do it on the show, but we watched a movie that this director did called The Lift, which they referenced in this movie, which was weird because the reporter says that he was late to the scene because mm-hmm. he said two old people got caught in a lift. And that's another one of his movies called The Lift, where, and I shit you not, the premise is there's a haunted lift and that's it.
Yeah, the movie was crap. We gave it a 3.
The fact that that happened and he made an entire movie out of an elevator. I was shocked by that. But this guy can turn even the turdiest things, the crappiest things, into something fascinatingly bizarre.
Yeah.
And that's what he did with Amsterdam as well. It's kind of shocking. But knowing that that's what that guy has done in the past, seeing this, I'm like, oh, yeah. This makes sense.
Yeah.
This guy's like able and willing to do the craziest stuff. So
yeah,
kind of fascinating. But yeah, I don't know if I love this film, but I did enjoy myself. I was definitely hooked to the screen because I wanted to know what happened next.
Yeah. Would you say this is the best out of so far that we've done for Cats?
Oh yeah. This is the third movie. This is definitely the best, but I will say that the first one, The Cat, also was so insane that we couldn't look away.
True.
I would say that one probably the most.
This one's more insane to me.
As an overall movie, the cat didn't make any sense. We couldn't look away because it was so insane.
Yeah.
But it was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie.
And last week's movie was just like, oh, this is so disappointing on every level.
Yeah.
This movie, on the other hand, is like, this is fun entertainment.
Yeah.
If I had to give this a rating, I would give this a 5.
Wow, okay. I didn't think you were going to say 5.
Yeah, I think this is a 5. I do feel like it's a decent movie, but it's mediocre in the sense that, like, the movie itself is only watching the kills.
That's true.
And you don't really get to see them.
Yeah.
There, a lot of it is implied.
It's implied, yeah. And then you get to see the aftermath, you know? But, I mean, we can't actually see a lion, a CG lion, ripping apart of a child, like a child actor. But so they had to make it kind of off camera.
Yeah, well, you do see the kid in the lion's mouth.
I mean, you do, yeah.
That was shocking.
It's very brief.
Yeah.
It's very brief.
But still, I was like, I enjoy this enough, but I do feel like it's mediocre.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a 5. I feel like it is a mediocre film, but it was quite entertaining. So, like, if you have, you know, not much to do and you want to watch a crazy movie, just for simply the carnage in it, it's you could check this out on Prime.
Yeah, if I had to, but it's also, there is a copy free on YouTube that is really good looking. It looks just like this. Mm-hmm. There seemed to be a minute missing. I don't know what that minute is. If I had to guess, it's the playground sequence. It might be a little too violent for people to see a kid.
Yeah, well...
And I'm thinking it might have been cut out, and that might have been a part of the unrated.
Yeah. Did we pay for this?
No.
Well, see, if it's free on Prime, then watch it there if you can.
Yeah, it has ads, but I was just saying, if you have YouTube Plus, it's You know, yeah. It's also there, which is insane. And I think that's really interesting. And it's copyright free for some reason. This guy has it. I'm shocked about that. But you know what I have to point out is that I feel like this movie is exactly in league with last month's movies. And since we're doing Cats versus Dogs, I will say the last dog movie, The Breed, feels like this. Yeah. Where I was like, this is better than it should be.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too.
Both of these movies. I was like, both of these movies, I'm like, and it's also 2000s movies.
Yeah.
And they both feel like they feel like they should have been done in the 80s or the 90s.
Right.
And they both feel like that. They both feel in that like that kind of universe where they're like, oh, they're a decade late.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, it's like, I wonder what it would have been if they tried to do actual animals or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that maybe would have been worse. But they both are that kind of enjoyable in a weird, bad way. I don't know how to explain it. I was like, I really enjoyed watching these movies, and I know they're not great.
Right.
So I think those two movies are, if we're versing the two sets of movies, that this movie versus that movie.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm sold. Team dog.
Well, overall, we're just doing the cat. Yeah. We're doing the movies that we're watching fight. Right. So I was like, if we had to verse two movies of that bunch, these are the two, definitely the highlights. This movie and that movie, The Breed.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've went through some of the reviews on IMDb. There is just a one star and one 10 star.
Neither. I'm fascinated by both. What is the general consensus?
Well, the one star review is pretty simple and just, you know, ridiculous to the point. It's like, why even write a review? It's so bad, it's funny. It is a completely ridiculous and illogical film with nothing making sense. One gets to a point when it becomes funny.
Okay, well, that guy missed a point, so there's no reason to even talk about him.
Right.
So it is a comedy, and they're not hiding that this is a comedy horror movie.
No, they're not hiding that.
It's
no.
not. I wouldn't say that it's like purposely laugh out loud, mm-hmm. but it is a tongue in cheek horror movie. It is a Killer Lion in Amsterdam.
Right.
You know this is a comedy. It's not taking itself seriously, so you are supposed to laugh at a lot of this.
Right.
So that guy missed the point.
Missed the point.
Like. And even if it was so bad it was good, it would still wouldn't be a one.
No.
Because you are laughing at, you're getting entertainment.
For sure,
of course. So what's the 10? What's the consensus on that?
The 10 is, it was too long. I didn't even want to read
What's the gist like of this people going for if they're giving it high reviews?
Okay, so let's see. It says, I would have given it 3 stars if it had been billed as a comedy, but no, they actually take themselves way too seriously. 10 out of 10. It's weird. Okay. That must have been a mistake.
I think that guy was going for a 1, I guess.
Yeah, but I did find an 8. Okay, so I like this one.
Okay.
If I can read this
one.
Yeah,
please.
It's bad, but oh, did I ever enjoy it. I happened to catch this movie yesterday and had a blast. Sure, you can see the lion is fake, and yeah, some of the acting is horrible. And you know who I mean, you son of a great game hunter. And it's almost identical to Jaws. But this film has the most funny dialogue I've come across in a long time. What does this lion like to do besides running? I don't know, but it has something to do with people. Mind you, this is after the lion kills 7 people. The only thing that was a bit mew for me was, and that's mew, M-E-W-W, for me, was the scene with the public transportation, aka the tram. I've expected more from this purely based on the fact that in the trailer, there's an infant in a stroller who sees this lion, points at it, and goes, kitty, kitty. Overall, I enjoyed this movie and had a good time, and if you lower your expectations, I'm sure you will too.
Okay.
Okay, but an 8, though?
Yeah.
What you're writing here is clearly a 5.
I will say that, I mean, I would say 6, maybe. But yeah, I get it. And when I went to YouTube and I looked at the commenters, like, they were all saying the same thing. They're like, I didn't think I was going to enjoy this. Every one of them is saying it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was going to enjoy this, and man, did I enjoy this. And a lot of people saying, I'm not gonna lie, I like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that. I think that I feel the same way as them. I'm like, man, this is way better than it should be. This is kind of stupid fun.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of enjoying it. But we know that, like, it's mediocre. But I like that. That was the common thing I was seeing everywhere. I liked the one person in the comments for renting this movie. Someone wrote on the YouTube rental thing. Someone wrote, I was all about to rent this movie until I saw the guy come out of the thing in the wheelchair with the track, you know, like the tank treads.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was all excited to see who this hunter was going to be. And then that happened. And I'm like, nope, I'm not renting this movie.
Oh, man.
So I thought that was funny. But I do agree. I think this is one of those movies that people are watching because they think it's going to be so bad it's good. Yeah. And then they go, man, it's actually kind of fun. So
it's fun.
I think that is the consensus, and I think I agree with it. I think I agree with the 5 point whatever it has on IMDb. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I could see why it would be a 6 on IMDb if it was. Because I think that enough people probably are like, you know what? It's kind of silly fun. I could put this on in the background and laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. That's what I'm going to give it a 5, and I think that this is a fun little ride that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe another line film after this. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm down for this. The house cat thing's, you know, run its course.
Yeah.
We did 2. Let's do another 2 with the lions. Cheetahs?
I didn't have any cheetahs. Aww. I have a lot of cat ones. Like a lot of house cats.
It's too dang bad that we had already watched Roar because that
it would have been perfect for this. Yeah.
Damn. If you haven't seen Roar, damn.
I'm also mad that we have already watched off the show A Talking Cat.
Oh, jeez. I hate that fucking movie.
Guys, I kind of love it. It's so terrible.
Oh, God.
Okay. Until next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hit us up on Instagram. Tell us what you think. If you ever have a movie suggestion, if you've seen a movie that is so bad it's good, or a movie that you think is the worst movie you've ever seen, I would love to hear it. Hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. She's making some really nice things. You should go check it out. Yeah, but until next time, thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
Yap and I have decided we can't carry on like this.
Oh, come on, Bram. It's just a game. What's this?
We really do want to end this.
End it? You've got to be kidding me. You want to get rid of me?
That's nothing personal, but this just isn't working. You have to agree.
This can't be true.
It's happening, Hendrik. We've been very generous.
You want me to sign this?
Yeah, on the dotted line. That's very wise, Hendrik. That's very wise. And just to come back to your question about...
See you later, alligator.